far would you be willing to go for your dream? If working hard's not enough, you still keep getting kicked down. Would you go to the crossroads? Would you fall down on your knees? Would you sell your soul to get what you want? Yeah, let's find out if it's true or not. We're going to dive into this story right now.
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
I like you.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Well Hello Mr. Fancy Pants. I am Spar, and this is
Zach.
And how are you guys doing out there? We gotta say that Lindy couldn't join us today and Todd couldn't join us today because they had other things going on, but it looks like Zach's got something going on right now and I want to know what it is.
I was just waiting to see if you're gonna ask me how I was doing.
How you doing?
Well, Matt, funny you should ask, because I got the blue. You know I got blues. And I got the blues. I got them. Let's go down to the crossroads and sell all soul of the devil blues. You know I got the blues. And I haven't played guitar in like 16 fucking years.
So you're saying it's not like riding a bike? Because it's
not right. No, it's not like riding a bike. No,
it's not close to like
riding. Not when you haven't picked it up in fucking year. Yeah.
It's been a minute. So, yeah, in case you're wondering, we're going to do Robert Johnson today. my idea to do, because I will never completely understand it based on the fact of my Irish background, but I do like this music.
Do like send me some music. Taters.
Irish people could have sang the blues, too, if they just weren't... didn't play the right instruments, I feel. It's like, no.
Well, you know, they did play the right instruments. They just played them all in dadgad, and it was like, hey, 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 hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey. Case out there, you don't know what dadgad is.
And all that good shit, Matt, but.
Dadgad is a tuning.
Sorry.
That most people aren't going to get the things that do. You're welcome.
It's for Celtic music, Matthew.
It helps out. Oh, dude, I thought it'd be fun if Lindy was here for this one, because I did talk to her about it before on the last episode that we recorded, because we was waiting for you and Todd to show up, and I was like, would you do it? She's like, I don't believe in that shit. I'm like, okay, throw that out of your mind. Throw it out of your head.
Yeah.
If you did believe in it and you went to the crossroads and the devil did show up, would you do it? Because if he's real... guess who else is? And you're going to be fucked for eternity just to be popular for how long?
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
With all the exorcism shit that we've done, that's proven to me that, yeah, I couldn't do it. There's no way I would do it.
No,
and it's not that I'm a, you know, scared. It's more like I don't like the heat that much, man. I don't think I couldn't take it.
Yeah,
gotta have that AC going. You know what I'm saying?
And then it depends on what you listen to, because Dante's Inferno. The farther you got down, the colder it got.
This is true, but I don't need any pineapple shoved up my ass either. So,
oh yeah, if we're gonna go. Yeah. Little Nicky.
Yeah.
Pick a pineapple. He's like,
are you serious?
Pick a different one. Yeah. <the title>. Now. So what I'm going to go over today, the majority of this I got from a documentary that's on Netflix, and it's called Devil at the Crossroads, because this actually has Robert Johnson's grandson talking on it. It has Robert Johnson's son talking for a brief little bit, because as you'll find out, he didn't really even know his father. So it's going to go, if you've read a different book, because I read Hellhounds on Your Trail, and the way he died in that one is way different than what it said in this one. And I've heard conflicting shit about
this is,
all of
this
it.
This is what they call a legend and a myth.
Yeah. It's well, he's definitely a legend, but yes, a lot of myth around it. So, but yeah, Robert Leroy Johnson.
Or Leroy? Did you say Leroy?
Well, if you listen to his son say his name, it's Robert Lee Johnson.
Okay.
So automatically, they can't, they're not even sure about his exact middle name.
Are you sure it was Leroy or was it Leroy?
Leroy? Oh. It was Mississippi, not Louisiana, so it was probably Leroy or Lee, either way. But he was born in Hazelhurst, Mississippi on May 8th, 1911. His mother was Julia Dodds, and she was married to a man named Charles Dodds. He was a successful carpenter and farmer. So everything seems awesome, right? So why isn't his last name Johnson? Turns out, in 1911, if you're a successful black man, a lot of the Mississippi white folks don't like you very much.
You don't say.
He had to skedaddle. It's like, fuck this. Yeah. I got to go.
Yeah.
And he, because there was, apparently there was supposed to be like a lynch mob forming for him because he was a successful carpenter and farmer.
Wow. God. That's fucked up, man. I thought you were going to tell me his last name was like, Johnson because he had a big wanga.
No, nothing that great. But he fled to Tennessee because that's farther up north. Yeah. A little better because it was, okay, we'll get together. Right. So Julia was left alone, but she ended up hooking up with a local lumber camp worker who was Robert's biological father, and his name was Noah Johnson.
Okay. So lumber
camp worker.
Yeah.
You're moving constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone working all the time because you work or you don't have shit.
Yeah.
So that's how it works. So Robert never had like a father figure. So I'm saying
Robert's dad was probably like built like a brick shit house too.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Although Robert wasn't, even though there was only like two pictures of him, he was a slim fella, but they said his hands were huge. It was like probably an NBA player's hands, which is probably why he could play a lot of stuff that most people couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, if his hands were huge, that he probably had really big feet too.
Probably yeah. Were like,
what do you 13, think I was going to do? What do you 14, think I was going to say?
Probably 14s? His Jordans were like 14s. Yeah. Probably something like that.
Damn.
So that was the thing. So eventually Julia got tired of it and she fell in love with a sharecropper who was abusive.
Oh,
if you could believe that back in this day. And it was one of those deals where Robert, once he got older, his father or stepdad was abusive and was like, you got to work. Cause at this time in Mississippi, you're African-American, you either work in the fields or you don't work, basically. It was, you know, the good old days. As
some, really?
Some people call them. Some people call them. I was being, facetious.
I'm picking up your sarcasm. I'm picking it up.
I should hope because I'm laying it on pretty thick.
Yeah, it's very thick. Yeah, it's hard to breathe in here.
But there was a place called Dockery's Plantation, and on through the week you got
Dockery's. You mean Cockery's?
I wish.
All right,
sorry. But no, it was like you worked all week long, but then on the weekends the musicians would show up to play, and this was a time where you could be yourself. You could let yourself go. You could listen to some music, and you could you don't have as much fun as you was allowed to have, basically.
Right.
And this is where the blues was started down in the Delta.
Delta blues.
In Mississippi. Yeah. So I don't know what St. Louis is doing with their hockey team that I don't fucking like in the first place.
Hey.
It's fine. It's a fine if you're a St. Louis fan. You just don't have the... I'm sorry. I'm a Blackhawks fan.
It's obviously... Yeah, it's very apparent right now.
But they would show up to play on the weekends, and it was where you got to be yourself. And that's what they said. A lot of people would say, like, back in the day, where did the blues come from? Well, it came from the churches, but that is the absolute opposite of where it came from. Because the blues was played in juke joints or the Dockery's Plantation. Yeah. But, yeah, when the juke joints opened up, well, these guys could go out and they could play. And they could make a little money.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of busting your ass in the field, you could go out and play some music and make some money. But what you had to do, it's like you had to roam from town to town. So you wanted to go to where the people actually had money. Because sharecroppers wanted to listen to you, but they didn't have money to pay you because everything they got paid was already gone.
Right.
You know, to make their own ends meet.
Yeah. So what you're telling me my options are, if I go... work 2 or 3 days a week, but I have to travel around, or I get to go bust my ass 5 days a week at least in a fucking field.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and Mississippi was one of those states where I heard that on this documentary, they said it was like a threat for other slave owners would tell, they'd be like, don't make me sell you to somebody in Mississippi. You better do what I'm telling you. And it was that bad, apparently. It was like nobody wanted to go there. It was like, yeah, your life sucks now, but if I sell you to somebody in Mississippi...
You're fucked. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of get... it's like, you don't understand the blues.
I've seen enough movies. I know what's up. I've read enough books that, white Americans are horrible people. Well...
Everybody's horrible people. You take a group of people and put them together, there's horrible ones in there.
Yeah.
That's just every group.
Cream rises to the top. Yep. Yeah. So, the rest of them try to drag you down with them.
Mm-hmm. So what came out of this was because of the jukes and you'd be able to go out and make money. Friday nights and Saturday nights, he was out playing and you stopped when people stopped paying. Was like if it got till 3 or 4 in the morning, people were still dancing and giving you here or there.
Just
you
did it. Women. Yeah.
So then on Sunday mornings, who was at church? The Not women. Because the men were at home sleeping it off because they partied all night.
Yeah.
So it automatically turned into the devil's music.
Did you say the devil?
I certainly did.
Could it be Satan?
It's always Satan. Every time. So but that's what happens. It's the devil's music now because that preacher wanted to make money. No, it's because the preacher wanted the money.
You just spend all your money in the goddamn bars and now I don't get any of your goddamn money for goddamn God.
Right. Exactly. So that's how they had to make money if you wanted to be a musician or if you wanted to bust your ass in the fields. So what you would do is you'd hobo and you would try to get from town to town. Well, you go to a town, you play on the corner and hope somebody that owned a juke would find out that you were in town by word of mouth because you played enough or just
you would walk into a juke and listen to you. Hey, let me play a few songs and
you just come by and hear you and be like, hey, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You want to play tonight? Well, you'd play that juke. And then you'd try for another one. And once you went through everything that there was to go through, then you'd travel again. Not as easy as having a tour bus, but that's kind of how it went.
It's more like indie rock, really, but, you know.
A little bit. And it was said at the time that one of the other musicians that was on this doc said that being a 20-year-old black man at this time in Mississippi was the most dangerous place to be in the world.
I believe it.
And you were on the road.
Yeah.
And yeah, once again, the preacher's calling it devil music, and that just followed. That just kept going. All through this whole thing, it's going to be preachers calling it devil music, and that fucks with Robert his whole life until he finally just embraces it and goes with it. But he was 18 years old when he fell in love with a 15-year-old named Virginia Travis.
Now, today, that would not be...
Oh, today, that's bad. That's real bad. But back then, that's like, not too far off.
I know in Arkansas, like 13 was legally, you could legally get married at 13 in that time frame. So,
yeah, because an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old, if you went even a decade past, back farther than this, you could have been 30 and married at a 13-year-old or 15-year-old. But they lied about their age and got married. And Robert said, you know what? I'm going to give up music. I'm going to be a farmer. I'm going to be a straight man. We're going to do this. Everything's going to be cool. But when Virginia became pregnant, when she was about 8 months pregnant, she moved in with her grandmother. And that was farther up north because she needed, you know, she wanted assistance with it because they didn't have the care that, well, right. Even the care back then, if you had money, was shit. So if you had nothing, it was worse. Okay. So
you need family. Yeah.
But once she left, Robert was like, fuck, I got a month, right? He's like, I'm going to make some money. So he started playing shows as he worked his way up there. You know, he's playing a show here, playing a show there, trying to get up to where she was at. But Virginia died in childbirth along with the baby.
Oh.
So by the time he shows up to the family's house, thinking, oh, I get to see my wife, I'm going to see my baby, it's going to be great. He walks into, this is your fault. Because you're playing that devil music, and that's what caused this. How the fuck you win? He couldn't be working on the farm and just hop on a plane and fly up there and see her, right?
Right.
He had to travel. Well, to travel, you needed money, so he had to make money on his way up there. So he said he put down the music to be a farmer, but then whenever she went up there, because I'm assuming he paid for it because, well, they paid for it together. Who fucking cares? Doesn't matter. What they were doing was shit. Yeah. So he was like trying to make some money on his way up. But once he gets there, he gets shit on. It's his fault. And he's going to live with it at 18. What was the hardest thing you went through at 18? Would you say?
Let's see. 18.
Some girl broke your heart. Certainly didn't die during giving birth to your baby. Right?
No. I don't know, Matt. I think I had to meet you. No, that was later.
Oh, that was later. Yeah, you.
Oh. That was like 21.
Yeah. Something like I wasn't that. 18 yeah. when
yeah.
I met you.
Yeah, I had to drive a shitty car around because that's all I could afford. That's probably the worst thing. Couldn't pick up any hot chicks in my 1994 Chevy Celebrity or anything like that. That's about
what was the Dodge?
It was like a Dart. It was called a Horizon or something like that. But yeah.
I drove that fucker everywhere.
Yeah. Until I fucking quit working. Yeah.
Yeah. Very reliable for many years. And then just finally not.
Yeah. So it happens.
Maybe you should have went down to the crossroads and asked for a better automobile. Or not.
I'm not a car guy, though. I would have been like, I want this sweet guitar, or I want this rig, or I want a record deal, something like that.
What's the pinnacle guitar?
The pinnacle guitar for what genre? I've played multiple.
For you yourself, what would be the that you don't own already? Because I know you own some pretty nice guitars. What would be the one that you don't own that you would want to own?
I would want like a mid 1900s, like we're talking like 1930s, 1940s, Martin D28.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like, hey, if what's your dream guitar? That's the one. Like, if you ask me, like, what's the one thing that you want that you don't own that you've always wanted?
And it's not to sell, it's you actually wanted to keep it, to use it. That's the rocker. That's the one you want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't know. I think the LTD Eclipse that I own is the perfect looking guitar, But if I could get it like an ESP version of it to where it had no paint on the back of the neck, I'd have that removed.
Yeah.
So it's just wood. It's a little slicker. I don't like the catchy ups, but
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So no, we're going off. We're going off course here.
Stay on target.
We never do that, do we?
We don't need any help, Matt. We don't.
So after this, his life was just music. He was like, fuck it. He's like, I tried and it failed. They hate me. I didn't do anything wrong. So now he's going to music. Well, Son House and Willie Brown would play shows a lot. Mm-hmm. And Robert would follow them around. And whenever they would go on breaks, they would go outside to smoke weed.
That's not a shock. The devil's leaf.
The devil's lettuce?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They'd drink whiskey and smoke weed. Well, whenever they'd go on a break.
Secret word of the day? The devil's lettuce.
Devil's lettuce. Yeah. Uh-huh. Email us with devil's lettuce and we'll send you something. I promise. Sounds you. Good. Just email. I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be, but it'll probably be something pretty cool.
That would be HMFPPOD at gmail.com.
Devil's lettuce.
Devil's lettuce.
Okay. So, and Willie Brown actually appears in the movie Crossroads, which I love. Not the Britney Spears one, the good one with the Karate Kid.
There's actually, hey, I went and rewatched it yesterday.
Did you rewatch Crossroads?
I did. There's like 9 fucking versions, different versions of Crossroads. That's not the Crossroads with the Karate Kid.
And Steve really?
Black. Yeah. And the hot chick from Lost Boys. I can't remember her name.
Star. From the Lost Boys, but I don't remember what her real name is.
I don't know. Yeah. Sorry.
Ask me anything about Lost Boys.
I apologize. It's
like, how far are you willing to go? But no, that movie's great. If you haven't seen it, go watch it because it's better than The Karate Kid. I think it's Ralph Macchio's best movie. If I had to throw one out there, Steve Vai's in it. Roy Cooper does the fucking music behind some stuff. It's
when like Roger Ebert says it's a good movie, it's a good movie.
You're doing all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Son House and Willie Brown would play music. They'd be in there playing, people going crazy, but eventually they got to take breaks, right? So they would take a break, step outside. Well, every time Robert wanted to get up there and play. So he'd pick up their guitar and start playing, and he said it, somehow said it got to the point that when they were on breaks, there would be people that was in the crowd that would come out and be like, you got to get up there and tell that boy to quit. He's like, you got to tell
damn, him. That boy good.
No. You got to tell him to quit. It sounds like shit.
Oh, okay. Like
he's fucking destroying people. It was like, they didn't want to hear it. So they'd get off their breaks. Tell him, all right, give me my guitar back. Plus they didn't want to break string because back in the day, I don't know how it worked, but I'm assuming you didn't just jump in your car and drive up to a guitar center and get yourself a set of strings or dial it up on Amazon and go to Sweetwater, which I recommend. They don't sponsor us or anything, but I do love Sweetwater. And order you some strings. You don't get like a 6-pack of strings for cheaper than what you could if you drove somewhere and bought 3 packs of strings. So
you got to skin a cat. You got to gut a cat. You got to get some cat guts. And then you stretch it out. And then you make your own damn string.
Make it out of cat intestines.
Cat gut string, it's the best kind out there. They smell a little funny, but that damn boy, them flat, they flat. He getting no string noise, nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of dead.
But when you play, it goes meow 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 meow.
That G string's dead, man. I'll tell you, every time. So,
player jokes are bad.
Yeah, after this goes on for some time, and he's getting, his feelings are getting hurt, basically, because he's up there trying to play and nobody wants to hear it. Like, he's, like, if people are walking out, like, as soon as they take a break and you get up there to fill in, you get, oh, yeah, they want some air, too. They're going to go outside, smoke, whatever they do, come back in. So, of course, they'd have been smoking inside. It really wouldn't fucking matter. But take a break, and then they come back in and listen. But when nobody's back in.
Matt, you have to go outside if you're going to smoke. The devil's lettuce.
I bet you didn't then. I bet it was cool.
I don't know.
Well, I bet it was cool in the juke. I don't know. It was like Well, they probably had bouncers. I'm sure they did. They probably had to. Shit breaks loose. They got to have somebody to, you know, knock the shit out. But
keep the peace and whatnot.
But after this happens for enough times, that Robert's just like, you know what? Fuck you. I'll show you. So he disappears from the Delta for what I seen was up to a year, up to a year and a half. It was up to a year and a half. Yeah, that nobody knew where he went.
And a lot of people. Fucking wild stallions.
Did he? Was there a phone booth? Is anybody following what we're saying anymore?
Rufus!
We'll go off on our own tangents.
Lots of little inside jokes there.
So what happens is, either after about a year or a year and a half, it was somewhere in between there. It was back in the day. So it, 6 months to 10, you know, something like that. Sunhouse and Willie Brown are playing in a juke in Banks, Mississippi. When guess who shows up? He comes walking through the door, only this time he's got his own guitar slung across his back as he walks in. And he waits for him about to get ready to go on a break, and he says, hey, let me play. Just let me, you know, let me get up there and play while you guys are playing. Yeah. And he gets up there and starts playing, and what he's done, which I didn't know this until I got into it, he's got a seventh string on his guitar that's wound around the low E tuner.
Uh-huh.
So if you think Steve Vai invented it, he didn't. Apparently it was Robert Johnson, had seven strings strung up on this acoustic guitar. Now, I don't know if he, because they didn't get into it, because I was like, what? Did he file down the nut for an extra run through, or were there just two strings?
And where would it fit on the neck?
That's what I want to know. I was like, you know, like, did he file down to where a second string could go real close to it to be like a 12 string, but only at the top? Or was it ran together?
Yeah.
Or how the fuck did that work? But apparently, Willie Brown and Sunhouse went on a break and he started playing and they were like, fuck me. What happened?
Yeah.
Because they said they've never heard anything like that before. They were like, he's playing so fast and it sounded like more than one guitarist up there, even though it was just him. But his huge fingers, a lot of people said that he could, playing with the slide, he could do stuff with the slide, but do stuff with his thumb and his index finger up at the top. Yep. So it was kind of like he was playing bass with him, himself while he's going, like, I don't know, listen to it. Okay, we'll get into how many songs he's got and stuff like that.
But just listen to fucking rock and roll. You don't even have to listen to it. Just listen to rock and roll. Everything's based on this.
That's where
it came from.
That's where the nobody had heard that shit before because nobody did it until he started doing it. Like, he was holding down a bass but could run a slide, and it's like, so that's where the myth started, because it was like, they were like, there ain't no way in hell that there's only a way in hell. Let me rephrase.
Bum.
That he could have possibly got that good in that short amount of time.
Yeah.
So what is said that happened is he went down to the crossroads, and if you know the song, he fell down on his knees.
Right? Fell down on my knees. Boop boop boo doo doo doo. Boop boop boo doo doo doo.
Gonna do some Cream. We'll get into that later too. But apparently he lofted his guitar to the devil. Devil took it and tuned it. And he said, when I hand this back to you, your soul's mine. And Robert held out his hands and took the guitar. And that's where it all came from. But him being going from, they said he was, from the stories, it was mediocre to shit before that. He was either a mediocre guitar player or it was fucking garbage, depending on what he was trying to do, apparently. But after this,
sounds a lot like you too. Just saying.
You mean the band?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you was insulting me a little.
No. Not you or the plane, man. But like forever, everybody always said they were a shit band, and all of a sudden, they disappeared for like a year, year and a half, and they came back. And
Joshua Tree,
Sunday,
I liked.
We got Sunday, Bloody Sunday, and With or Without You.
I liked Joshua Tree. I didn't like him invading my cell phone.
Oh,
since
yeah.
I had an iPhone, it's like, no, you get this album for free. Like, go fuck yourself, you pompous ass.
You got it for free so they could count it as a sale, and then they got even though they gave it to you for free. That's a different thing. Yeah. I'm not getting into that.
Even my wife, she's like, I don't know, every once in a while, when I put my phone in my car,
the Bluetooth starts playing, and you're like, I don't even know this song. What the fuck is this?
That's what she said. She goes, it starts playing this shit music. And I'm like, oh, that's you two. Give it to me. I went and found the album. I was like, delete. I was like, there you go. You won't have to worry about that shit anymore. And it more insulted me that you think that we need that. Yeah. You know what? If I want it, I'll buy it. And I don't.
I think that was like the transition to like from the iPod to the iPhone is when that happened, right?
No, it was definitely well into iPhones because it was, yeah, this was 3 years ago, probably.
What?
Or was it maybe
it's been
four?
A lot longer. No, it's been
longer than that?
Oh, fuck.
And she still had it on
14.
Her phone.
Your wife's just can't figure out technology. That's what it is.
She still had it on her phone. I deleted that shit the day I heard it came out.
Yeah, it's on the cloud. It's on the cloud. You got to delete from the cloud, Matt.
It's like almost every fucking time I hear Bono, the Clutch song, for some reason, pops in my
head. Why.
The Smoking Irish Fly. Forgive me, it's just Stigmata. Grab me a napkin, but don't you dare tell my mama. Because he's Christ-like. Yeah, you guys are welcome. Blast Tyrant. Just go listen.
So, it's a great album. But anyway.
So after the Selling the Soul thing comes out, a lot of his lyrics in his music actually, it seems to go along with it. Me and the Devil Walking Side by Side, you know, it was Down to the Crossroads. But I think, and a lot of people said when he was saying these things, it was like Me and the Devil Walking Side by Side. He wasn't actually talking about the devil. He was talking about Equinsu Ocho.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you just refer to me as White Devil? Yes. Leave that part out from now on. But there's a lot of hoodoo references in his music too, and I'm not gonna go through all the lyrics that because I didn't write them all down. But there's a bunch of like hoodoo stuff because that was kind of it was a lot practiced. But you know, if you're writing blues music and you grew up in that area, you know you're stooped in it. You know it. That's what you know. That's what you write. Okay.
So rock and roll was stolen. Slaves.
Yes. Yeah.
It's basically slave music that they would sing in the fields.
Yep.
And that's where what everything is based off of. Even you can go into like all the hymnal type Baptist hymnals. They're all based on the same thing as well.
Well, once it got to where people wanted to hear it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before that it was boring as fuck and nobody cared. It was more of the upbeat. Is it? And a lot of the guys that were talking on this were old blues musicians that were like, you know, when he's talking about, oh, baby this and my baby that, and I'm going to do you, girl, like you did me. They weren't really talking.
Are you singing Jay-Z lyrics right now? What's going on?
No, I'm not. But they weren't really talking about the woman. They were talking about the master.
Yeah.
But they could get away with it if they worded the lyrics that way.
Correct. Yeah.
Is what they were saying. Yeah. So, I mean, there's, like I said, we'll never understand. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Kill all the white man.
I got typo negative in my head now. Kill all the white people.
Oh, shit.
But another tale that comes from this time is where he actually went, that they think he left the Delta head back home to find his father, Noah. He wanted to find his biological father. And he meets Ike Zimmerman, and they would practice guitar together. So Ike turned out to be like his mentor, his teacher. Mm-hmm. And what they did, now see if this is going to ring any bells as to why a myth like this would have happened. Ike and Robert would go out, they would go out into a cemetery and play in the middle of the night. And they found two stones that was facing each other, and they'd sit there, and Ike would teach you about how to play guitar.
He'd sit on the stones.
Yep, they'd sit on the stones.
Yeah.
And why Ike said this is, well, he told him, he's like, hey, man, don't matter how bad you play, ain't nobody going to complain out here.
I like it. Yeah, it makes sense. Yep.
So he was teaching him, and he said the only, Ike told him the only way to learn blues is to play in a cemetery in the middle of the at midnight while you're sitting on a headstone, because then the ghosts will come out and teach you how to play the blues. They'll teach you how to do it. Yeah. So which one do we think? Do you think the myth comes more from him actually selling his soul to the devil, or more from people actually finding out about that? Like,
I tell you which one is cooler. You already know the answer to this, but
both are pretty fucking sweet. I mean, really, what do you think?
Yeah. But I mean, the cemetery thing makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, what would be cooler? Oh, how'd you get so good at guitar? Oh, I went and sold my soul to the devil at the crossroads. Or me and Kerry King sat across from each other in the cemetery.
He said, well, you know, boy, you suck right now, but if we just keep going, ain't nobody here to hear you. Just fucking wail away. I'm not going to complain.
Kerry King taught me how to use a whammy bar. A lot of dive bombs, boy. A lot of dive bombs. You can rest on it pretty heavy if you need to.
This is definitely a musician-heavy episode, guitar player anyway.
If you're not as good as a riff maker as Jeff Hanneman, you can rest on
rest easy.
You can rest on your whammy bar pretty hard. And I love Kerry King, by the way.
Oh, I do too.
Those is jokes.
Just jokes.
So anyway, so it's said that after this, you know, when he comes back and starts playing and people are loving it and they're showing up to the shows, they said that Robert didn't like people watching him play. Like, he wanted people to come watch him play and dance and enjoy it. But not critically,
watch him play. So because he was like, I got this shit figured out and I don't want anybody else to know my secret.
If they were staring at his hands and what he was doing, they said he'd either turn his back to him and keep playing, or he would quit.
Yeah.
He was just like, nah. So now he learned that shit and knew nobody else was playing it. And he comes down to places, maybe it had moved up and these people knew it, but these people didn't. He comes down there and starts playing it when nobody else is playing it. And he's like, well, if these people start playing it, I'm not going to get as much money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this is my thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that part makes a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you figured out a chug that nobody else has figured out. And then you got some dude out in the crowd just like,
you know, I was like, you motherfucker, I know you play guitar. Don't fucking look at my shit, motherfucker. Yeah, I'm going to kick your ass. Don't look at my settings. Make me take this beer bottle up to sell your fucking head.
Stop looking at my settings, you motherfucker. Figure it out yourself.
This one goes to 11, motherfucker.
Boy, this is good. Well, of course, it's going to be guitar player. That's what, you know.
It's Wobbett Johnson.
It very much is. So he had two recording sessions, and they were from 1936 to 1937. San Antonio, Texas in 36 and Dallas in 37. Dallas. Yeah, great place to drive through.
Not really, no. Mm. That's a good joke, man. Like, 20. It was that good.
29 songs is what we got from Robert. 29 songs in these recordings, and there are 13 surviving alternate takes, which I don't know how deep you got to go to get those. I haven't listened to them. All I know is the originals that I have heard, because I've heard every song that was on it, and we'll go into how many have been covered out of the 29 that he did. Damn near every one of them have been covered.
Everybody that plays the blues has done... Robert Johnson song. Yeah.
Everyone. So he met Vagary Kane, who was a schoolgirl. But her parents didn't want him to be around her. Shocker.
God forbid. Right? I don't imagine. I don't know why. I can't imagine why.
This grown man.
You know? This grown man that
plays the devil's music?
Like, no, and smokes the devil's lettuce.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, so his son, Claude Johnson, that's Robert's son, said he only seen his father twice. So after this girl gets pregnant, her parents are like, nah, you play the devil's music and she's too young and you could fuck off. So once again, so he's lost two wives and two kids. Even though one survived, he still lost them.
Yeah.
So he did end up going to the grandparents' house twice, because the boy said he did see him twice, but never got to talk to him. Like, his grandparents wouldn't let him in. They wouldn't having fuck all to do with him, even though Robert did give him a wad of cash one time for Claude. He said, this is for Claude. Now, who knows if Claude got it? But, yeah, so after he just becomes, after this, dude, he's done. He's like, why am I even trying? Nothing's fucking working. So he just becomes a heavy drinking, womanizing rock star, basically. It's just, he's going to be, you know, 1989's Van Halen, just fucking drink and pound the Vosge. And that's what he did. Some of these people in this documentary was just like, I loved his whiskey and he loved his women. That's what he loved.
Yeah.
So that's what he did. So he used the myth that was coming behind him of the, like, selling his soul to the devil and stuff. Yeah. Like, he didn't fight against it. He worked with it.
Yeah.
He was just like, yeah, just keep that ball rolling.
That's how you get come to see seats, man.
Yeah. It's just like when they put the parental advisory stickers on CDs, they sold better than ever. Everybody wanted it on there.
Appreciate that.
Yeah,
Tipper. I don't know how many fucking CDs I bought because of that shit.
I was like, I'll pick up one. There's no parental advisory. I'm like, fuck out of here. What else we got?
Toss that shit.
What's going to piss my parents off? I gotta fuck this.
What's this? Slayer. Rain and Blood. Parental advisory. Oh, okay. I'll check that out.
Well, I think the parental cool advisory on that one was a bit larger than some even. I think it was more of the rap group sized. Like some of them were pretty small in the course. Yeah. Some of them were fairly big. I'm surprised it didn't cover up most of them marked. So there was a show at Three Forks. It was a juke joint outside of Greenwood, Mississippi, that Honey Boyd, he was a dude that traveled with Robert and would play shows with him and stuff. And he was with him that night. And he's the one that told this story, which is why I believe this one more than some of the books I've read. Because if you read the book, Hellhounds on My Trail, I think they said he was shot on a bus. I read one where he was stabbed. I read one where he's poisoned and stabbed. But this one apparently seems to be the most realistic one because that guy was playing with him that night.
Yeah.
So Robert, with his womanizing and shit, he was banging the wife of an employee of the Three Forks Juke, which was not a great idea, but I guess your arrogance gets the best of you. But he was sitting with her at a table that night when he ordered a bottle of whiskey, like he did. And they brought him the bottle of the whiskey, but one of his friends, see, Robert didn't notice this, but one of his friends noticed that the seal had been broken. And Robert opened it and he slapped it out of his hands. Well, it spilled, but Robert grabbed it real quick. And he said, man, you don't drink whiskey out of the seal's been broken on that thing. He said, you never slap a $7 bottle of whiskey out of my hand.
Yeah.
And Robert drank it.
And that was it.
So he drank it anyway. And he was, the bottle had been poisoned. So Robert ends up later, not too much later after he drank that bottle, slumped over in a seat. But the fans kept trying to get him to drink because they thought that'd get him back up on stage to play more. It's like, Robert, you all right? I got you a shot. Get your ass up there and play some fucking music. I'm not done dancing. You bastard. Come on. So his grandson said that it took him 2 or 3 days to die from the poison. Like, he was suffering in a room.
Yeah.
And the man that did it to him got off scot-free because
he was playing the devil's music.
That was a lot of it. And the other thing was he was banging that guy's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So they were kind of like, you know what?
Justified homicide.
You know what? Fair enough. He lost it. He wasn't in his right mind.
The version that I've heard, it was like he drank himself to death. And maybe he wasn't poisoned, that he just fucking drank himself to death.
That happens too.
So,
but the way this was going, it seemed like he was up there playing and then come off on a break, ask for a bottle of whiskey. And I've got to imagine that in 1938, a $7 bottle of whiskey was some high class fucking shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I'm a picturing it's a pint. It's probably not a fifth, right? Or it could have been back then a fifth, but it still would have been pretty highbrow for $7, right?
Think a $100 bottle
or a $150 bottle of whiskey now?
Yep.
Inflation wise, that in my head, that sounds right. Math's hard, but that would be.
That's an expensive bottle of whiskey.
100 years ago, yeah. Yeah,
that's an expensive bottle of whiskey, in my opinion. I mean, I bought some expensive bourbons, not for myself because I'm not a bourbon drinker, but I bought it for friends.
That's a 45, 50 year old Scotch whiskey today. Yeah. Single barrel.
Okay. So Robert Johnson passed away on August 16th, 1938, at the age of 27, which made him the leading member of the 27 Club.
Yes.
Which includes Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Amy Whitehouse, and there are a few others.
There are several others, yeah.
Yep, quite a few others. And that's where a whole bunch of that selling your soul to the devil, that's why you got popular shit, was where that came out. And if anybody thinks Kurt Cobain sold his soul to the devil and that's how he got popular, didn't listen to music in the late 80s. Because the record executives ruined fucking music. And he did not invent grunge. He was just the one that got famous for it.
Yeah.
Like Mudhoney was around. And
he actually tried to steal Mudhoney's drummer at one point. He didn't want to break the band up.
I actually think the drummer did play with him for like a gig or something because they needed somebody to fill in. But he was like, nah, I'm going to stay with my band. But
there's a great documentary.
They went through drummers like Spinal Tap.
Huh? Yeah, they did. I think Dave Grohl was their like third or fourth drummer. But there's a great documentary on.
Dude, it might have been six.
I'm trying to think of the name of this documentary that Dave Grohl put out, but it's all about the studio where they recorded. And it's all about that studio. There's so many fucking great albums that were recorded there. But
where they recorded Nevermind, because he took that.
Garbage recorded that. But
and he bought like all the equipment that was in there. Studio City. That's
the name of it. Yeah.
Studio City. He bought all that equipment and brought it back to his house and set up the studio.
Because the studio went under. Yeah.
Yeah, because Stevie Nicks even came by and recorded something with him because he wrote this for all these people that were on
because
it.
Because the first Fleetwood Mac album that she was involved in was recorded in that studio.
And he was wanting to get everybody.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, several albums were recorded there. And Dio recorded some great albums. Rage Against the Machines.
Yeah. One of their first albums.
It's
pretty monumental. I mean, really, if you're just going to scrap that shit, why wouldn't you buy it? And then. But okay, so
it was a Neve board and had a sweet, sweet sound.
Yes. So interest did pop up about Robert Johnson because he had recorded those songs, and they didn't have a lot of pressings of them, but some pressings got out, and some people got, and then a lot of interest came up about Robert Johnson getting him to come up north to play, and people were going down there to find him. They didn't know he was already dead. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have known the date that he was born or the date that he died or his parents' name if it hadn't been for his death certificate that they had found. So after this, Muddy Water invents electricity. And still that from Crossroads.
Nice.
Good point. All these blues players, man, they start getting it. They're taking those riffs, taking some of them songs and, you know,
rocking them out. And that's where you get like your Chicago style blues, your Delta blues. Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. It's all based. He laid the foundation and everything else was built on that.
Yep. Yep. So that's where it came from. Like you got, we'll get into the bands here in just a second, but all these, he was, a lot of people talk about Elvis Presley. Well, if it wasn't for Robert Johnson, he wouldn't even have known about it.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have been the same way. It's like, would there have been a Black Sabbath without that? Probably not. Nope. So would there have been Slayer without it? No, probably not. Who knows? You know, it would have been later.
Any modern rock band that you love would not exist without Wobbett.
No. Johnson. Neither would the Beatles. So.
Nope. Same deal.
So but the kids... They start making these pressings after the blues starts blowing up and people are liking it because it's more rock and roll. It's not just one man with an acoustic guitar playing in front of a mic. Now they got better equipment. They got better guitars that run through amps, got a little bit of hiss to them. And they got the beat in the background. Well, so kids start buying these 45s. Well, they start finding Robert Johnson 45s. And it's at this time that John Hammond, he sees that the music could appreciate him, you know? So he re-releases Robert Johnson, King of the Delta Blues Singers. And boom, there, everybody gets to know the dude that made it, the songs that he wrote, all 29, and the bands that have covered him. I didn't write them all down because my hand was cramping.
It'd be a long list. If you want me to put that in the show notes, you can go fuck yourself. I'll make you do it.
Right. It's going to be a long one. Just fuck Google it. Google it.
It'd be longer than this fucking episode. Like if we transcripts, it would, right. Then the whole episode, that band list would be longer than that.
Crossroads done by Cream. Traveling Riverside Blues done by Zeppelin, along with most of the other songs they wrote that they borrowed from the recorders.
Careful. My wife might actually listen to this episode. I know your wife episode. Will
not appreciate that.
Don't want to start a fucking fight.
Fucking facts. Preaching the Blues, The Gun Club, Love in Vain by the Stones, and even, well, they had, you know, on that documentary that I watched, they said, well, we didn't want to do it the way he was doing it because we're playing as a full band, so they made it more country. They, you know, slowed it down as the way they did, which was really good. The Devil in Me by The Doors. Rambling on My Mind by Lucinda Williams. Dust My Broom by Howlin' Wolf. Hellhounds on My Trail by Big Joe Williams. Sweet Home Chicago by Everyone.
Yeah.
But my favorite one was the Blues Brothers. When the Blues Brothers done Sweet Home Chicago at the end of that movie, it's just Matt Guitar Murphy. As soon as he hits it, I'm just like,
I'm good.
Yeah. It's like, dude, get it to me. Now. It's like, come on. And then that beat to it, that's what we're talking about, that nobody did that.
Yeah, it's like a little back beat.
And that's like the beginning of a bar chord that most people were strumming things to make it, you know, stand out on an acoustic guitar. Well, now you start moving into electric guitars where you start using those bar chords, which will do the same thing, only you can play them quicker and tighter, and they sound more solid, and it's not as much ringing out on the old equipment, which was pretty high pitchy, like his voice. Like,
if you speaking listen, Spanish to these people, man, they're not gonna get it.
Okay, well, if you listen,
Baxter, you know I don't speak Spanish.
if you go back and listen to Robert Johnson, his voice is gonna be high pitched, but I don't think his voice was actually that high pitched. I think it was the microphones that they used back in the day probably picked that up.
Yeah,
hotter than everything else, so he was probably a little lower than it was to separate
because you're talking. If there was EQ at all, it was 3-band.
Oh, high, tops. Yeah, huh? tops. And yeah. I bet they scoop the mids. You know, I bet.
You mean like Slayer? Probably. And Metallica?
Mini
80s. More fucking mids. Guitar talk. Shit. Okay. All right.
Mini 80s. Scoop the mids out. Oh. But no, from what I got from this, it was like you set up in a room with a microphone, so he had a microphone to play and sing into, and they recorded it in the other room. It's kind of like, if you haven't seen Crossroads, or they show it at the very beginning of the movie, like kind of how it was supposedly set up, but it'd be like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, when they recorded in that room, they were set up in the other one, where they're dropping the wax as it's recording. And
this is pre-multi-track. Multi-track.
Oh, yeah, this is one microphone doing it all.
And it's a room mic, and that's all you get. So more than likely, he's singing into this mic from probably this distance away.
A couple feet away.
Like, here, I'll put this in perspective. So he's singing like this, and it's probably, the mic is a little higher. This is why you watch the Spotify stuff, by the way, so you can actually see this.
Yep.
And then, you know, he's playing guitar too, so it's picking it up from the same microphone.
Yep.
So. And then I'd be,
you know, everything, it was different back then. So it was just like, you got like, and to think they said 13 surviving, like alternate tracks. So that could mean that out of the 29 songs that he did, he fucked up 13 times. And the rest of them were just solid, just played through, and they're like, perfect cut, print it.
Tape wasn't, it was super cheap, expensive. Yeah. It wasn't cheap. It's not cheap to record a song in a studio now. I mean, if you want to go to a studio and record one song right now, if you don't have your shit together and you can't do like a one take type thing, you're talking
minimum $5,000 per song.
Yeah, and they're not using tape anymore, so it isn't even going to be as high quality as
I don't recommend it, but yeah.
It seems like the farther, you know what? It seems like the farther we go, the worse things sound. Because vinyl
albums. I'm not even going to go into that. That's a different conversation. But
dude, vinyl albums sound so much better than tapes did, but tapes sounded better than CDs do. And then when you're just listening to it off your iPhone, even if it's come through your speakers, like I'm sitting there adjusting shit. But it's like,
it's all about compression. But that's a different conversation, and that's not a "Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants" type thing. Maybe that's a "Hello, Mr. Fancy Shorts" conversation.
Maybe we'll do a live episode. Call in with your favorite guitar effects pedals and amps, and what do you use?
That guy. I don't have any favors on that.
Do you have a favorite guitar body shape?
I'm a classic guy. I'm
going Strat.
No, if I had to pick between Strat and a Tele, I'd go with the Tele.
Tele.
Yeah.
Cause I'm going Les Paul body shape all day long.
I love Les Paul body shapes too, but fuck, they're heavy.
It's like a picnic table around your neck. That's why I choose the ESPs over the Gibsons because
which aren't light either, but.
Well, they are a shitload lighter and the neck. I hate that fat fucking neck. Like my hands aren't small, but they're not big, but I hate a fat fucking neck.
I like
to be able to mute things with my thumb.
Yeah. And hey Matt, you're speaking Spanish again.
Oh, sorry. Guitar players will get this. They'll be the only ones listening anyway. Cause they're gonna be like, who the fuck's Robert Johnson?
And
what does any of this have to do with gay porn?
Absolutely
nothing.
This is the only episode we've done in a while that doesn't.
We've come through strong.
Yeah, not bad.
Came through strong.
I'm proud of you. Thank you.
So yeah, but I thought this episode deserves some respect just for the music that he laid down that created everything that we know now. And if you guys get the hankering to pull it up, you can pull it up on YouTube and listen to all the songs that he did. And yeah, you're welcome. I think if you don't enjoy it, I don't get it, but maybe, I don't know. It could be like an acquired taste, but I think you should.
You either like music or you don't, right?
Right. Yeah. And if you like it, that's not made by human beings playing it and computers playing it, probably not your thing. You could probably pass. Listen to real musicians playing actual fucking instruments, please. And thank you. There we go.
You got anything else?
No, are you going to play us out? Because,
no, I'm just going to say, please continue to like, rate, and review the podcast.
On Spotify, preferably, because you can watch the videos on there, and then you can see us doing stupid stuff when we're talking about it, like you can see us. You will be able to, because that's who we're talking to.
And also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can email us at... HMF PPOD at gmail.com. And that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks for tuning in for this episode. And I would like to do a live one about this sometime, just asking people like what their biggest influences was for music and stuff. So we like the guitar players and all musicians talking, because I think that would be fun. But so. Yeah. Hey, we'll see you next Tuesday, motherfuckers. I'm Spar.
I'm Zach.
Later.
Later.
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
I like it.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line?